Welcome to Nowhere to Run with Christopher White.
And sometimes our hearts get sick, and our dreams turn to dust. But this road you lead us on is where
everyone, welcome to Nowhere to Run. That was Ryan Delmore in the intro music. You can go to my website, which is nowheretorunradio.com, and you can email me, which is Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at conspiracyclose.com, and you can give me your questions or critiques or comments. I have been kind of getting behind on emails lately. I don't know if getting behind is the right word, but I just know that I've missed. What happens is that I get emails and then I'll get them in a list and I'll go through and I'll just read them all. And I'm like, oh, cool, neat, awesome, that's nice, ooh, that sucks, you know, like really just go through and just like ingest all of it. And then I might like go on to something else and check some other thing or whatever. And oftentimes I kind of respond back in my head like, oh, yeah, you know what you need to do, right? And then I actually never go through with the actual typing or, you know, sending audio or whatever to the person. So if you wrote something that probably needed a response, I probably thought that I responded to you in one way or another. But if you want to email me back, I will try again. I need like a second chance. If you had a really good thing that you emailed me, and it deserves a second chance. Send it again. I might get back. And you might even say, hey, Chris, this is the second time that I asked you this. Because I'm reading them. I guarantee you I'm reading them. But it's just whether or not I, like, you know, responded or not is the question. Well, in the vein of the last interview we did with Russ Dizdar, I thought I would introduce a new website that I've been working on called DVDTracked.com. It's, let me clarify what that is. DVD, obviously. DVD tract, like tracts of land or urinary tract, T-R-A-C-T, tract. DVDtract.com, singular. So DVDtract.com. And it's basically just showing the two versions of the DVD tract that I made and explaining how to make them and how to package them, where to get all the stuff, blah, 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 blah. Everything that you need to know to do the DVD handing out business that I've been doing for a while. And I think that I have absolutely no way of telling this, so I'm just saying this, but I think that I made a really big impact in this city. I really do. I mean, I gave away a lot. I don't know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those things, but I mean, I probably will never know, but I just know that something exciting happened. But that being said, there's all kinds of information about how to do it yourself, and you know, I've got the two ones that I use, and I had my reasons for not going so in-depth. There's other sites out there, which I linked in the link section, that are much more thorough than my site, that, like, have every... the one that I linked is has a lot of different types of DVDs that you can get, but also mostly it's primarily, like, CDs. It's audio and things like that, but it's a really great site, and they also go through a lot more detail about how to do different things and package and all that stuff. So it's a good to check out for further information. But mine's pretty much just telling what I did and using what I used and blah, blah, blah. So also another important part of that is that there's a section called PDF tracks, which still working on. I'm still going to add another one of the same person who his name's Nick, and he is in, I believe, it's Nick, don't go, I think it's Australia. But anyway, he makes really excellent, very detailed, very thought-out gospel tracks that have so much information. There's so much information packed in these things from, like, front and back, 8x10 pieces of paper. They're just phenomenal. And I haven't seen his new one, but I'm sure it's great, too. I know he's been working on it for a while. So I'll add that whenever that comes out. But I really, really think it's great. So I linked that there, too, in a place where you can download that. So it's dvdtrack.com. And also in the, I believe it's the link section, there is a link to another paper tracked company that I think does really, really good work. So it's all just, it's real specific, not necessarily broad. I guess you could say it was really easy, not hard, if you wanted to put it that way. Okay, so it's been a really busy day today, actually. Just for several different reasons, but one of the reasons was that Alex Jones on Infowars.com or somebody at Infowars.com linked a recent video that I did on their site, and it just generated a lot more YouTube comments and emails and things of that nature. But it's been, one thing noticing all that, it really hit me that this, and I've thought about this before, but that guy must get the most hateful mail. I mean, sure, he's get his share of really good mail too, but that guy probably gets from all sides, from people that should be for him, people that are against him. There's like an angle for everybody to say something. I mean, every walk of life can say something negative to Alex Jones, and they probably do. I'm sure it's just a real big downer. And one of the things is I was noticing the way people like act, it's really tough. I'm sure that's a very tough situation to be in. Anyway, the video, I'll play the audio from it here real quick. It's about, I'd say it's about 15 or 16 minutes. So the reason I made it was not so much to expose the website, because honestly, it wasn't that hard to do that, even though some people, and the reason I originally did it was somebody had emailed me about it, and I could tell from that and from other people that it was deceiving people that weren't going to be looking into it that deeply. And there were huge ads, like taken out of MySpace and stuff for this website. And so, but it also afforded the opportunity to really get down with the information about kind of what, you know, we've been talking about on the Frank and Chris show on Wednesday nights and things like that, about what we think is happening with the, all this stuff, and the reason why 2012 is being used as a psyop, and the potential for that being used as a deception in the context of these end times and all these things. So it really was a really great opportunity for me to lay all that out, and with the potential for a great deal of visibility too, because the website was probably going to be very, because of the advertising and stuff that was gone put on this MySpace ads and all the stuff that was drawing attention to this organization. It had no presence yet on YouTube, so I figured there would be a lot of people that would, you know, try to get their news from YouTube as they do. And so that's what I thought. But then, you know, when Alex or whoever linked this article, it just, you know, really was a great opportunity to get this concept to people, because I do think that this is, it's not quite exactly, it, or I'm sure there's, like I said in the video, I'm sure there's a lot of things that we have wrong. Speaking of, like, you know, Frank and I brainstorming and stuff like that about this scenario, but I think it's similar. I think it could be something like it. But if you want to see the video, you can go to nowheretorunradio.com. I'll link it there. But here is the audio from this, and I'll talk a little bit more about it on the other side. It's about 16 or so minutes long. Here you go. This presentation is about the website instituteforhumancontinuity.org, or IHC. If you have been taken in by this website and you haven't discovered its little secret yet, stay tuned and we'll get to that in a minute. But let me first say that this is probably one of the best put-together websites I've ever seen from a design perspective. The site is basically telling people that they are a group of scientists and government officials and the like who have been studying the 2012 doomsday phenomena since 1978, when they set up this foundation. And in 2009, they decided to go public to offer a solution to save humanity from 2012, because they say that their scientists have determined that there is a 94% chance that December 21st, 2012 will bring doomsday on planet Earth and for all of humanity. They say that they have several space cities and floating cities and underground cities in the works that will be ready by 2012, and they want people to give them their email addresses to enter them into a lottery for a chance to survive 2012. They show us pictures of respectable scientists with impressive resumes, which are to assure us that all this 2012 business is quite real, and we are, in fact, all, scientifically speaking, doomed. I was asked by someone who had seen my video 2012 Debunked if I would look into this organization. I took up the challenge, and I found some very interesting things. But before we get to the big ones, let's check out some of the finer details. The first thing that caught my attention was the IHC staff page. These faces seem to say, look everyone, 2012 is something that actual scientists are worried about, and here is a respectable crew trying to save the world. But while reading about the executive director, Dr. Edmund Primo, I caught something that maybe a lot of people may have missed. What it says is this: Edmund is a geophysicist and a systems engineer by training. Dr. Primo is perfectly suited to oversee the IHC breadth of projects. It says that he did his doctoral thesis on galactic alignment's effects on crustal movements, and this apparently first thrust him into the international spotlight in the early 90s. Okay, well, I can give a pass to the fact that I can't find any reference of a Dr. Edmund Primo online, even though it says he was thrust into the international spotlight. I'm even able to overlook the fact that both his name, Dr. Primo, and his face seem like something out of a B-sci-fi movie. But what I can't overlook is this. It says he did his doctoral thesis on galactic alignment's effects on the crustal movements. And keep in mind, he is supposed to be a geophysicist. At first glance, this alone gives a lot of credibility to the whole concept of 2012 and galactic alignment. The problem here is, as I detailed in the 2012 Debunked video, is that the so-called galactic alignment that occurs on December 21st, 2012, or really any time within a 50-year window of that date, is a visual phenomena only from the Earth's perspective, which is caused by the roughly 26,000-year cycle of precession of the equinoxes, or a wobble of the Earth, which changes our perspective of the stars, not our actual relation to galactic center or to any other star. To put it simply, the Earth is in no way actually lining up with galactic center on that day. It's only the tilt of the Earth that is changing. If you were viewing this from anywhere else in the universe, absolutely nothing would be different than any other solstice. Therefore, there would be no scientific reason to expect crustal changes or magnetic changes or any other change from a scientific perspective. So, what makes this interesting is that here and in several other places, this website is saying that it's basically a scientific fact that this 2012 galactic alignment will have all kinds of physical effects on the crust and on the core of the Earth, but it's a logical impossibility. And if any of you out there are saying, but wait, maybe they're talking about the actual entire solar system crossing the physical galactic plane, then I would say to you that according to the journal Nature, this event happened 3 million years ago, and we are moving away from galactic center, and we won't be due to cross for another 30 million years. Simply put, we are further away from galactic center now than we were even in the days of the Mayans. But it doesn't really matter, because the website makes it clear in many places that the alignment it's talking about is the one that is based on the 26,000-year cycle that is simply a visual phenomenon. And even more embarrassing, and quite frankly very deceptive, is their presentation on Planet X, where they say that they have not only found Planet X, but have tracked its potential orbit to within a few possibilities, which they present in the form of a slide bar page, which the user can presumably see the possible outcomes according to their scientific research, of course. Again, I refer you to 2012 Debunked, because the Planet X story has holes so big that you could drive a dump truck through it. But for now, I want to concentrate on this website. And I will get to their secret in a moment, but I want to first dig a little deeper because I am convinced that there is much more to this than meets the eye. An alert individual should draw immediate parallels with the IHC and another group, which is the so-called Zeitgeist Movement, which is something like an activist spin-off of the thoroughly refuted movie Zeitgeist. See the description section for details on the refutations. Both sites promise action to save the world from various events or people, but they're not just similar, they're very similar. For example, IHC promises it's building floating cities that it calls Hydropolises, where the Venus Project which is partnered with the Zeitgeist Movement, offers floating cities called Ecoopolises. The parallels don't stop there. And don't get me wrong, these are great ideas on the surface. But as I said, I think that there's much more going on here. Like the Zeitgeist Movement website, the IHC website also primarily collects email addresses and personal information on those that sign up. But there is another deeper connection that I want to go to before I reveal the IHC's secret. Because I think it speaks volumes about the real nature of both of these movements and the 2012 phenomena as a whole. The general connection is that of theosophy. As I detailed in my video, Zeitgeist Addendum is NWO propaganda, Zeitgeist Addendum appears to preach theosophy while preparing us for a new system of government, one in which we will believe the NWO system has been defeated by an outside force. The connection here is much more subtle, but vitally important to the coming system. On the IHC website, in a section called Cultural and Historical Analysis, there is a subsection called Comparative Religion, arguably another parallel with Zeitgeist, but I digress. There are three subsections. The first one basically tells us to pay no attention to the prophecies of the Bible because they are far too vague. I deal with this also in the 2012 Debunked video. But most interesting is the second category, called Eastern Gods of Destruction. In this section, the IHC makes sure to say the following: the Buddhist religion manifests an end-of-days prophecy in the coming of Maitreya, the future Buddha. Maitreya's appearance is predicted to coincide with the lowering of the world's oceans and is associated with the transformative consciousness whereby the current Buddhist teachings, the Dharma, are forgotten. So, after telling us to pay no attention to the biblical prophecies, they tell us to pay extra close attention to the prophecies of Maitreya. Now I want to show you a recent TV commercial by a group called Share International, which is founded by a man named Benjamin Krim, who has for years claimed that he is the spokesperson of the coming Maitreya. This is the view of the Theosophist Lucius Trust and the United Nations, of which the Lucius Trust enjoys a consultative status. This commercial has seen a lot of airtime, including the inauguration coverage, Fox News with Anderson Cooper, Rush Limbaugh, and I'm sure many, many others that I'm not aware of. Please pay close attention to what this commercial is saying.
If the Christ or Buddha returned today, would you recognize him? The one awaited by all major religions has come when we least expected it. He is ready to emerge openly very soon. Look for a bright star shining in the sky night and day as a sign of his public emergence.
Very interesting. It seems the United Nations and the Zeitgeist Movement and whoever is behind this website may trying to be doing exactly as Alice Bailey, former head of the Lucius Trust, wrote about in her book The Externalization of the Hierarchy, which was to indoctrinate those that were awake into the new global religion, or at least prepare them to react a particular way to a future event that will begin its implementation. So, I will now tell you the Institute for Human Continuity's little secret, because it's important to understanding the rest of this story. I did a Who Is search on the website and found that it was bought and owned and maintained by Sony Pictures, who has the blockbuster movie 2012 coming out in November of 2009. Interestingly, a few weeks ago, Sony Pictures announced that they were pushing back the release date for 2012 almost a whole year. That's right, a whole year. And if you look at the trailer of the movie, and you understand a few concepts that I'm about to tell you, you might understand why they did this. But first I want you to notice this explains a lot of the other things that are happening on that website, and why people look like B-movie actors, and why there's no record of any of their groundbreaking research. The reason is that it's entirely fictional. But I beg you to realize how serious this is. Sony Pictures is deliberately presenting this in an almost flawless way, telling people that the best scientists in the world have actually scientifically determined that the world is going to end in 2012, and that the only way to survive and to save our families is to give them all of our family's personal information. And then when you get the confirmation email, does it tell you that, hey, this was all a big promotion? No, it gets you even deeper and deeper into it. But that's kind of how this works. Sony has the out of being able to say, oh, it was just viral promotion. We were just playing around. But this information is very good. This is probably one of the best websites I've ever seen, and there's no indication whatsoever anywhere that this is a Sony Pictures promotion for a movie. I'm telling you, this is way, way too far, and I tell you something else, that it is not in order to get you to see a movie. It is to get you to do as the trailer implores you to do, which is to find out the truth and Google 2012. And if an unsuspecting person does this, they will be met with the usual suspects who dazzle people with the certain truths that they have about how the world is nothing like they've been told, while also teaching them to open themselves up to the spirit world and encourage channeling. In the case of David Wilcock and in the case of Michael Tsarian, he tells us that the only salvation is through magic and secret rituals. This is where they want as many people as possible for a very specific reason, which is that there will in fact be a series of cataclysms coming, and there will be war and famine leading up to 2012. The true elites know this all too well, and they definitely know it's also not because of galactic alignment. So on one hand, it's kind of a misdirection to make sure we don't pay attention to the real prophecies, but on the other hand, they are trying to make it look like other prophecies are coming true, all prophecies. But in trying to fulfill all of them, they're going to have to paint with very broad strokes. And what I mean by that is that ultimately we're going to be asked to settle. That is, that there's going to be a lot of miraculous things going on, maybe even aliens and things like that. And they're going to basically say, hey, this is what all your prophecies were talking about. And even though we'll be able to say, well, this isn't exactly what our prophecies were talking about, but it's close, most people will agree that, hey, close is pretty good. Maybe we didn't get the prophecies quite right. It has been an awful long time and things like that. That's the plan. The following is what I think will happen, and keep in mind, it could happen so many different ways, and I'm probably wrong about some very key elements in this, but I'll just tell you what I think will be happening. They will position a particular man to rule over this war and to rule over the chaos in the years leading up to 2012, and this man will be kind of a patsy antichrist that will embody all things New World Order. Even the very unreligious will see him as the antichrist. He will, in my opinion, be set up for the purpose of being knocked down by the real Antichrist, who will then look like the actual return of Christ because he defeated the evil system. I think that this will happen around 2012. He will then tell us something like, all the religions kind of had it right, and they will unite the entire world with the promise of a new millennium of peace, which the Bible says is a false peace that will only last a few months before this person or being shows his true colors. But at that point, it may be too late for some. They may have given this person or being access to their free will in some way. I encourage you to research things like Zeitgeist's claim about Jesus and some of the other conspiracy New Age claims about Jesus that we all think that we know, that I once believed myself. But I encourage you to find out if they're true or not. And if they aren't true, ask yourself why the entire system will concede every truth about conspiracies of the New World Order, but all trip on themselves about this one guy that lived 2,000 years ago. Ask yourself why the entire system is so afraid of this guy. The answer is out there. Thanks for your time. You know, listening back on that, I think that I may have misspoken when I said, well, first of all, what I meant with the false peace, what I was trying to say was that I think that 2012 might be the midpoint of the so-called tribulation, but that this deception will actually be trying to push forward the whole situation to where the midpoint would seem like the end of Armageddon and the beginning of the new millennia. But like I said, I don't know any of that. I don't even think that I know any of that. I'm sure that I'm wrong about something. It's just the best guess right now. And the main thing that I would want people to get out of this is that there is a good possibility that we don't know, that the deception is going to be actually better than we think that we know. And that if we don't keep on our toes, then there's a lot of people that you know, go to churches that are probably going to be deceived with this, because it would be easy to tell a lot of people out there, hey, it's Jesus, you know, it's not quite like the Bible said. But there are so many churches and even in seminaries and things like that that teach that the Bible has been corrupted, you can't trust it, it's been copied over, blah, 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 many times. And so if you had something miraculous happening when they're saying they're Jesus and they defeated the Antichrist, and there was already the Gog-Magog War, so sure, it's Jesus, it's just a different kind of Jesus. And I've heard some pretty wacky theories about the millennium from some pretty mainstream churches. So that's not going to be a very hard sell for a great number of people. I've talked to people very recently who, in regards to, you know, the Bible and saying things like, well, you know, it's been changed so many times and things like that. The most important, if you have somebody that says that, the most important thing to ask them is what they mean by that. Because a lot of people don't know what they mean by that. And it's the most important thing. I think the whole thing counts on the person not really understanding what they are meaning. Because if you say, oh, it's been translated so many times, you can't tell, it's, you know, men wrote it and all this stuff, it's been so long and all this stuff. Because if they're talking about the translations like the NIV and the differences and all the mistakes that the NIV makes in the King James Version and all the mistakes that are in these translations of English, then if that's what they mean, and see, that they won't know what they mean, and that's an easy thing to say, that there's so 5,000 mistakes in, you know, the King James Version. But really, even by the process of saying that there's mistakes in the King James Version, that means that you are admitting that there is a standard from which to base those mistakes, which is the original Greek and Hebrew texts, which haven't changed, and are in fact the most scrutinized texts, ancient texts in the face of the earth, bar none. And they're actually the most validated under the only methods that we have for validating the validity of ancient texts. And there's multiple copies from multiple different sources, multiple time frames, an unbroken chain all the way back to the very time that it was supposed to be written. And so there isn't really any variation in those texts. Those haven't changed. When they opened up the Isaiah scroll, that was provably, nobody really argues, this thing is at least 100 years before the time of Christ. And obviously that's important because of all the prophecies, the messianic prophecies in Isaiah. So that's a crucial thing in apologetics too. But nonetheless, when they translated that thing and they found out that it hadn't changed from their Masoretic text, which was the earliest known ones that they had that time, which was like 600 or so AD, I think. So a huge gap, like 700 year gap there. And it hadn't changed. The scribes had very meticulously scribed it right for 700 years. And that is a huge validation in something like the Old Testament. So no, they haven't changed that. And our Bibles look exactly, our book of Isaiah looks exactly like that one written 100 years before Christ. And that's great that we know that. Same thing with the Greek texts are newer, you know, so we know them to even a greater degree of certainty. So when people say that, say, what do you mean? Because if I'm going to translate the Greek or Hebrew text to Chinese or Swahili, I will probably get a number of mistakes wrong, in that maybe this word does not translate to the Chinese word that I would use. I would have made a big error when I translated that word to the wrong Chinese word, but that's not a mistake made by the Greek words. And another thing that it seems like a lot of recent kind of churchianity, and let me just stop myself right there. Everybody, including every church, will badmouth churchianity, this mysterious concept that everybody else has it wrong. I don't think that there's a church in the world that doesn't talk about other churches. Churches today, well, we all know churches today haven't got it right. Every church says that, I'm sure, you know? I mean, so one of them has to be the church that they're talking about, but everyone, of course, thinks that theirs isn't. But churchianity will often say things like, we shouldn't look into these prophecies of old, you know, these things, that all that stuff in Ezekiel and and Revelation and Isaiah and all that stuff, just, that's not even meant for us. And then they'll say something like this. This is the one I love. They'll say, well, you know, people, in 2000. Well, you know, they thought it was going to be the end of the world then. People in the year 1000, they thought it was going to be the end of the world then. So, I mean, why should we even think about that? I mean, that's, that, my friends, is the stupidest thing that can come out of a person's mouth. If they're really honestly trying to say, hey, you know, let's not look at that part of the Bible. Then don't use that argument that it didn't happen in 2000 and it didn't happen in 1000, so let's not worry about it. That doesn't even make sense. Those non-events would have no positive, would not make a positive case for it not being tomorrow or the next day or 10 years from now. In fact, if you are a Christian and you believe the Bible, then you know that it's going to happen at some point in the future. And then they'll always say, well, you know, you don't want to, you know, worry yourself to death about things like that. It's like, no, I'm not worrying myself. And then I'll say like something like that. I feel like, you know, I've got some kind of like thing that I've got to do. I feel a call, a burden thing to warn people about a deception about it. I'm not freaking out about it, and I'm not spending all my time about it. I mean, I'm just saying that I have a burden, and it's like almost, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. Just the shut up. But you know, the bottom line is that there's a really good psychological reason why people would say, no, don't worry about that. It's not going to happen. Look, I know it's not going to happen. Shh, be quiet. Because it's not something that people would want to happen. If they are enjoying the way things are going in their life and they like it just fine, why would they want the end of the world to come and mess all that up? And then they'll quote a verse righteously, we shall not know the day or the hour. I've actually had somebody just the other day, when they were quoting that to me and saying I shouldn't be thinking about the end times, said, misquoted it, and they just said it exactly how they wanted it to hear it. You know, Jesus said that, you know, we shouldn't, nobody should know the day or the hour. It's like, no, I didn't say that. In fact, he was saying that no man knows the day or the hour in the context of people asking him and him giving them a pretty detailed description of what was going on. In fact, imploring them at the beginning of the end not to be deceived. So that he thought that it was kind of important that we take notice. He obviously called, he held the Jewish people responsible for knowing the day that he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. They were supposed to know that day. I mean, it was prophesied many hundreds of years before that the Messiah would ride in on that gate on that day, riding a donkey. Jesus, I bet, was the only guy on that day riding in there, and I could only imagine there was like a crowd of three guys, you know, and some rocks that were there, and they were, you know, clapping and singing because they were good students of Bible prophecy. But I don't know. I always visualize that as not a big crowd, you know, like 5-6 guys and like, you know. Anyway, so the point is, I don't know what the point was, that we should be diligent, if for another reason, the same reason in Matthew 24, to not be deceived, and this concept that we just have it all figured out, ho-hum, yes, I think I know a thing or two about Bible prophecy and how this is going to go down. The Antichrist is going to make a 7-year peace agreement with Israel sometime around the War of Gog Magog, and Russia is going to be there, and it's just going to be a crazy big mess, and then we'll know that Armageddon is just around the corner, 7 years, in fact. And, I mean, if that's the deal, then, you know, we're just sitting ducks for deception. But really, you throw a monkey wrench into the paradigm of people, if nobody's even willing to talk about the possibility that Satan could be using aliens in some manner as a deception, like a real thing that's really happening. If nobody's really even to bring that to the table, and therefore it's not being discussed in the churches or anything else like that, then, man, we are sitting ducks. I don't know if anybody has. I know I'm a little jaded, I guess. You know, with the company that I keep online and things like that. You know, we talk about those kinds of things all the time. But, you know, I don't know if you've tried to bring up that concept to anybody, you know, in lately, I mean, a Christian, I've been, you know, shut down. I mean, they definitely did not want to hear anything like that. And you shouldn't be talking crazy stuff like that. People are going to think you're crazy, like me. I think you're crazy. Well, they didn't say that, but things have been going really good as far as the Revelations Radio Network Radio Hour on local radio here in Nashville. And what I mean by things have been going good is that nobody has told us that we had to leave yet. And so we're happy with that. I think we'll know pretty soon, you know, if we're doing pretty good and people are listening to it or not. I don't know if Frank's got a way figured out that he can tell how to do it. Frank's got some interesting news, too. I hope he does a podcast or something about that here pretty soon. But, yeah, so things are going good with the radio thing. I think I'm going to attend the National Religious Broadcasters Convention next, I don't know when it is, Monday or Tuesday or something like that. It's in Nashville, so I got my pass, and I'm going to go down there and wear my little badge and listen to all these people talk, I guess. I don't know. When the guy at the radio station gave me the pass, or gave me the how to get the pass, or anyway, he was telling me about all these people that were going to be there. He's like, and so and so and so and so, and this person and that person. I'm like, oh, really? Oh, those people, huh? Because I don't know any of those people. I don't know anything about any of that. But, oh, well, it'll be interesting. It'll be fun. I don't know what can happen there, but just see what happens, I guess. So, yeah, and what else? The DVD track. DVDtrack.com, the new website there. You can go see a link to that at nowheretorunradio.com. Things are going really good as far as that. A million things going on here, so bear with me as far as not getting as much material out or whatever. But I think I don't think I'll miss a beat too much. Too many beats, anyway. So, thanks again. You can email me at Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at conspiracyclose.com. Visit the different radio stations. Revere Radio Network, the Black Vault Radio Network also does really good stuff, and so those two, and of course Revelations Radio Network. So that's it. Thanks, guys.